Hear the words of Matthew 6 from the NIV version. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Praise to the Word of God.
In your bulletin, you'll notice an insert for the World Mission Offering. I mentioned last week that here in the United States, if you were to take the average person here in the U.S. would be globally part of the economic top 1% in the world. World Mission Offering is an opportunity for us as a church to give to help the missions of the American Baptist churches around the world. It's a great way, if you don't have one specific missionary you want to support global work to create a better world around the whole world, not just here at home. Everything from rebuilding in Haiti after the hurricane went through the Dominican Republic to work with the sex trade and eliminating that in Southeast Asia. That's what those funds go towards. And frankly, our denomination has seen that number drop as far as what we have given over the last 10 years every single year. We need to reverse that trend because the world needs a lot of help. And as it says in Luke, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need to send workers out into the harvest, but to do that, they need compensation. They need to be able to actually eat, have a place to live. So if we can support them, we should. Think of it, though, as you write that check, not as giving. Because frankly, I really don't like the word giving. And it probably has to do with my own background. It probably has to do with the way giving was handed to me or dealt with in my life. But it doesn't feel real good. I like the word gifting. Because with gifting, there's no expectation of return. There's no obligation to do it. It's something you do from your own free will, out of your own joy and love, with no expectations. That's much better. Why do we give? Why do we gift? Why do we do these things? The easy answer is to say, because God tells us to. But it's a horrible answer. If you go to the very beginning of the Bible, start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, God creates everything. And after he creates humankind, he then gives humankind creation to take care of. God creates and God gives. Children, young children, as soon as they learn how to take a pencil or a crayon or a marker in their hand, they begin to draw and create. And as soon as they finish their creation, what do? They give it to someone. It's the first thing they do. It is how we are wired. We create and then we give. So when we think about what it means to be created in the image of God, Imago Dei, created in the image of God, I think one of the most significant aspects of that is the fact that we create. As much as any creature that has been created, we create. And in fact, more so than any creature, we create. And it's not just that we create from a productivity standpoint. It's in a diversity of what we create standpoint. I mean, we don't just create houses to live in. Ants and termites, they do that. Birds build nests. Bees build honeycombs. We do it with a sense of the artistic. Now, there are some birds who work on creating laborious, beautiful nests so that they can impress their mate. But we do it not to impress, but to simply do it. We take and we create things like this, this wonderful, beautiful symbol out of wood. We make beautiful jewelry that we then adorn ourselves with. More importantly, though, often when we create, the first thing we do is, like God, we give it to someone else. It's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be in the image of God, right? I mean, what is it that separates humans from other animals? And this creativity is part of it. In fact, I was watching a show talking about Everything Explained, and they had an episode about music. Humans create such beautiful music. Now, we hear birds sing, right? But they only sing one or two songs. Some birds can imitate music, right? But they don't convey emotion with their song. We might feel some of it, but there's the idea of intrinsically pushing emotion and emoting when you sing. It's a critical part of being in any kind of vocal group. You sing with emotion. I don't know if you're aware of this, we're primates. Most primates, in fact, they have not found another primate yet that can beat match. Do you know what I mean when I say beat match? So if I go, join me. That transition where you went from one tempo to another, no other primate can do that. We have language to express thoughts with our music. No other animal can do that. And the music we make is beautiful. The art we make is beautiful. Have you ever looked at a building before and after it's had a mural painted upon it? It's always better after the mural. It's always better. We are made to create and we are made to give. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them and then he gave them creation. And so just like God, we create, and just like God, we give. Now, studies have been done about happiness. And time after time after time, studies about happiness show that those people who give the most are the happiest. Those people who give the most are the most grateful. Those people who experience the most joy in life are the most generous. Now, that might lead you to think that it's those people who are the richest then that are the happiest, and that is not actually true. They did a study about 6 years ago, so that would put it around 2013. And what they found is they asked people to survey how happy they were. And then they also recorded their annual income. And what they found was happiness increased with income up to around $75,000 a year. This was 6 years ago. After that, it peaked for a little while. But clearly, after $100,000 of revenue a year, happiness dropped off. What's up with that? Obviously, it's not the income. What they found was, again, those people who gave the most, regardless of income level, were the happiest in their bracket. It is not about what you make. It is not about what you produce. And it is not about what you save that brings you joy. It's about what you give. Now, I don't know about you, but my occupation doesn't lend itself to extravagant levels of gifting from a financial standpoint. I have a kid in college. I have another one who will be in college next year, and by golly, I'm in that spot. So how do you give if you're in that spot? That's easy. See, this is why I told the illustration of this weekend in Ashland, okay? There are people everywhere walking around, and a lot of them had these faces on. And I thought, okay, I don't really have much I can give right now, but I can smile. I can give people smiles. And so what I did was I made a point of looking at them and letting them know in every look that I love them. And as you do that, people would begin to smile. Now, it made many people uncomfortable, and they looked away, but that's their problem. That's not mine. But I looked at them, and I said, I love you, in my head. But I hope it came through in my smile, because it's important for people to know that they are loved. God is love. John tells us that, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And those that do not love do not know God, for God is love. But if you really want to have fun with generosity and gifting, let me suggest you try an experiment this week. Find opportunities to randomly gift people in anonymous ways. Our scripture today talks about not letting your left hand know when your right hand gives. Don't make a big deal about it, because you're going to be gifting. You're not going to be giving. See, gifts, there's no expectation of return. All right? So if you go through the Starbucks drive-thru, pay for the order behind you and drive away. If you go to the grocery store, take a 10, give it to a cashier and say, put that towards the next person's groceries and walk away. Find a way to randomly do something nice for somebody else. Just see what happens. I've tried this before. You know, occasionally I'll get coffee gift cards, and when I get a gift of a coffee gift card, I usually drive through because it's just so much easier, right? So I'll drive through. And the wonderful thing about Starbucks, at least the one we had in Laramie, was there was always a 6-car line between where you would order and the counter. And so I would get up there and I'd say, just so I know, how much is the car behind me's coffee? Because I want to pay for their coffee. And if they say $25, I say, oh, how about we just put 10 on my card? Because I usually don't have that much. But when you do that, I will sit and I'll look in the rearview mirror and I will make up stories in my head about what's going on in their lives. And this one day, it was a dad with 4 girls in the car. And I could see the look on his face. And it was not the look on his face of, I am so happy to be driving these girls around. They were all high school age girls. I could see the girls were like, frenetic activity. And the dad was just like, I can do this. And so I made up that story in my head. And I thought, this dad is really going to enjoy this moment. And then I drove away. I have no idea if he enjoyed it. It doesn't matter. It's about the giving. When I make things on my lathe, the hardest thing I have to do is make myself sell it. I'd rather give it away. It's a lot more fun to give it away, right? Because if you give it away, then number one, I don't feel guilty about any mistakes that might be in it, any imperfections that only I see. You know those things. And I get the joy. In a sense, it's kind of selfish. Because by gifting things away, we get the joy. With no other hang-ups, no other connections, we can just go. You know, God loved us enough, and when God created this world and gave it to us, that gift, he just continues to multiply on. I mean, if you think about what talents you have in your life, those are a gift that God's giving to you. Can you give credit to your parents for all of them? Maybe some, but, you know, maybe not. Who do you give credit to? God. God gives you the ability to learn skills. God gives you physical health that you can do with as you wish. God gives you this beautiful earth. We get to choose what we do with it. See, God didn't say, oh, you can do it, but you know what? If you start burning down every single forest, I'm going to stop you. God lets the natural consequences of those actions stop you. See, a gift, you don't get to control how people use it. And once you find that that's a freeing thing, it becomes so much better. When I'm walking around areas where there are lots of homeless people, I like to keep something with me so that I can give it to them. And there's always been that debate of, you know, do you give to homeless people money? Do you give them food? What do you give them? And I think there's a common explanation that I think works best for me. God looks at me based on how I give. So any judgment God gives me is going to be based on how I use the things that I have, not on how they use the things after I give that to them. God will judge them for that. And I get instant feedback when I give these things. I always feel better afterwards. I always feel better afterwards, and I know you will too. So take a moment right now to think about where you're at for your joy in life. Where are you at for your happiness? Did you have a hard week? What can you do to make it better? I know a number of parks you could go to, and you could just walk along the way handing out Fred Meyer gift cards or Safeway gift cards, and you would feel so much better when you're done. I know there are Dutch Brothers where you could pull through the line. You could buy a $5 gift card and say, just here, put it on the next car and drive away. If you want to be happy, if you want to feel joy, extravagant generosity is the best way to do it. And the fastest, easiest thing to do are random anonymous gifts. But if you don't have the finances to do that, that's okay. Smiles are free. Hugs are free. Phone calls are free. Well, kind of free. Letting people know you love them, you care about them, you're interested in them, you want to be a part of their life, that's free. It costs nothing. And it results in so much more. Wyoming struggles with a high suicide rate. Oregon, not so good either. And frankly, letting people know that you're thinking about them and caring about them is one of the best things you can do to prevent that. As long as you can see it as a gift. Because if you make that phone call with an expectation, you've lost it. It's got to be without expectation. It's got to be free. Free gifts are the best because they don't hold you down. That's how God gave to us, freely. And that's how we're made to give.